Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been the case, and this has been the issue, the entirety of the Kobe Altman experience here since the rebuild started. Like, the Cavs need for somebody like a Cam Johnson, who Joe Vardon reported the Cavs were interested in, or yeah, Herb Jones of New Orleans, or maybe both, because I like that better. Like, they've needed one or more of those guys. Dean Wade's a really nice piece. He's not enough. He's not enough on the perimeter to kind of stop and give you what you need there. So I don't think last night changed anything in that regard.
No, I mean, so the Cam Johnson thing is interesting because if we're trying to build out basically a super team, and that's what they're trying to do, you're trying to mask as many flaws as we can. Unless we get a third team involved, I don't know how it's going to happen.
Why?
That's my big problem. Well, the price tag on Cam Johnson right now is way more than what we can reportedly afford. Like Mark Stein noted, the Nets were seeking multiple first-round picks in exchange for Johnson, where our first-round pick is 2031. Like, we don't have the ammo right now. I'm open to the idea that we can get another team involved, and maybe we can kind of group things around that. I just don't see how it's possible now.
I'm actually
because
not
we're also
concerned.
Bidding against 15 other teams in the NBA for Cam Johnson.
Yeah, I don't. And listen, I'm specifically locked in on Cam Johnson. I would be surprised if they got multiple firsts for Cam. I could be wrong. I mean, Mikal Bridges went for a song this summer that I don't think anyone saw Mikal Bridges going for. Was it 3 or 4 firsts? I think Cam Johnson is exactly what they need, though. I think if you can make the price work, and I agree, by the way.
I think that's the hard part, because I agree with you in the idea that Cam Johnson would be awesome for this team. I'm worried about the fact that you are bidding against other clubs. You're buying at an extreme high, because he's never looked better. He's never played better. Like, I just don't know that they can get it done.
Well, I think this is where a guy like Karis gives you some value. Obviously, Karis 3 years ago was worth a first-round pick. I don't even think we should get lost on the price, though. I think when it comes down to it, like, this is, if you really want to talk about, you know, it's so funny when we talk about building a roster. The Cavs are not where other teams are, where it's like, man, we need another pillar player. We need an Ingram.
Right? Like, in that report that Joe has, he says how the Cavs' interest is attached to the idea that they're not moving anyone in their top 8.
Yeah, that I'll be honest with you. I think that's a little positioning, which we can get to. I think you should be. I think where you are right now, and I don't know that they agree. I think where you are, specific to a Cam Johnson and Herb Jones, if you get both guys or even just one of them, I think you're where Boston was, where they decided to make the switch around that roster and go Derek White, Jrue Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis. And I think you can do that. I think the important thing is, if you can do that without altering your core four, I think you could be a son of a you-know-what in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. I mean, again, no one's denying that it would make them instantly better and you become a better team. Even though they have the number one offense right now in the NBA, like, you are instantly better, even defensive, you're all the way across the board. It is an A-plus addition. It's just whether or not you can make it all work.
Well, and I think
do you have enough for the Nets?
I think this is the swing, and it's, again, I don't think it's a one-player move. I think Cam Johnson gets you there in a big, big, big way. Right? But if you could tell me that you had a roster and your 1 through 10 was your core four, and then Cam Johnson, Herb Jones, Max Strus, Ty Jerome, and I'm forgetting someone. The amount of teams that you could beat in that scenario.
For sure.
And that's why I think the Cavs, I think it's important. Like, I don't know. Listen, you can't control what the price inevitably is going to be for Cam Johnson. You might get, and so then.
Yeah, I mean, the bidding war is going to be, I would imagine, to be pretty intense, because those type of wings just don't, they just don't appear everywhere.
Yeah, but remember, some teams are going to be constricted by money. And if you're going to get, the Nets to take on money, right, you're going to have to incentivize them further.
Right, but there's three areas that he becomes important. He plays a position of importance. His contract himself is so incredibly friendly. Like, what is it? It's a next 3 years, 22.5, 20.5, and then 22.5. And then on top of that, he's having just a career year shooting. He's shooting 43% from three.
That is absolutely what happens when you're on a butt-stink team. I don't think that's going to impact his value. But I just think, like, I think there's a clear, you will win the trade deadline if you can make this happen. I really don't care, by the way. I don't care about the price. Because if in the future you decide to move on one of your core four, you're going to be able to recoup some of the value. I'm 2031 first.
That's what we got. We got a 2031 first.
Vio con Dios. Isaac Okoro. it's been nice knowing you. Karras. And that's a tough one for me. Because I think Karras is almost criminally underrated here. There's no player outside of the top four, the core four, that I'm not willing to move on and discuss if it allows you to get that. And I,
right, that's where I say we have to open up another team into this, though, because what do the Nets have? What use does the Nets have with Karis LeVert?
It's an expiring contract, and they might be able to flip him for more assets.
But that's it; they want more assets, well, so they would deal with a team that just gives them the more assets to begin with.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I don't care about playing tradio. I think they have a need. You have things you can give them, and they give pieces around that I think make a lot of sense.
Kobe's always been really creative, though. So, like, if anybody could do this, it would be him.
And I think, and just so we're talking, by the way, I think you are in a position where there are two spots. One, Cam in the Cavs just makes sense from that, and
for
so
sure
for the
does.
Cavs to do that.
Yeah, for sure it does.
But there's another team that I think being really bad this year is a huge, huge advantage to you. And that is New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and in fairness, New Orleans has not kind of said what they want. But, you know, you mentioned the three-team thing. Cavs, Nets, and New Orleans, I think, and again, I'd be willing to give up multiple players from what you're doing. And then, I mean, you've got a butt ton of second-round picks in the next 5 years.
You've got a strong relationship with New Orleans front office.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I kind of think this is lining up. And I'll just... If you got Cam Johnson, and the other thing I like about the Nets, and I know I've mentioned this name a lot, I love a guy like a Dayron Sharpe, who I think could help you be that third playable big. I think something we haven't talked about nearly enough is you need a third playable big. And Dean Wade's a nice, smaller big. I'm talking about a guy who can play minutes at center that you can throw out there. Almost like one of the things that I think that Timberwolves really screwed up is when they traded Cat, and they had three playable bigs.
Yeah.
But each guy served a different role.
Yeah, they wanted to move away from that.
Yeah, well...
Because we talked about them, and we talked about potentially breaking up Mobley and Allen even.
Yeah,
you know,
here's the thing, though. They moved in the wrong direction.
They did
it to get off the contract.
Right.
The Karl Anthony Towns contract, which looks dumber by the day. But yeah, if you could get a guy like Dayron, who I think is more of that throwback physical player... That could be fun, but I want to go back to the Cam Johnson thing. If you get Cam Johnson, it's not a matter of like, oh, what do you give up? No, it's what's the price and how do you get to the price? Like, how do you do? I think that's how important of a piece he could be for the playoffs this year. Because I think I might not need to hold my cards on, well, I got to see it in the playoffs. If you get Cam Johnson or Cam Johnson in another big wing. Okay. That is playable.
Like, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to lay out what we have and what I think the offer is going to eventually be, and that's why I'd say the important part of this is we got to involve another team.
Do you agree, though, that like that's the kind of thing if you fill your biggest weakness, or in the event of Cam and Dayron Sharpe, your two biggest weaknesses, and you've now got cards. Like that's what this deadline is about to me, and I understand it's tougher for Kobe Altman because once you give away that 2031. We gotta wait again till you can trade the 2033. I understand that you are. There's really one time you can fire these bullets.
But to your point, though, now is the time. It feels like where you do this.
Well,
because Boston. Hey, listen, I think Boston is a much better team than what their previous 14 game record indicates. 7-7 over the previous 14. I do buy into the idea that they are, I think Danny said earlier today, bored during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I definitely understand that. I mean, they haven't lost three in a row since the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals. It's been a while since we've seen them lose even three games in a row. So I think there is something to that. So I don't want to just make all these big trades and be like, well, we're still running into a buzzsaw that is Boston, but it does feel like the year that you can be able to go after him. It feels like Eastern Conference Finals is almost a given.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that it's not that I think it automatically means you can beat them. But I want to see Kenny Atkinson with the full war chest going into these playoffs, because I think people have acted up until this last 14 games that it's fait accompli that Boston is just going to be a back-to-back champion. I don't want the Cavs operating in a world where you just go, well, I guess we don't have a chance. No, you're a really good team. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the importance of that size in the perimeter.
Yeah.
Some of it is just you also will be able to more effectively split up your small guards. Like, if you really want to win and contend at the highest level, it's about maximizing Donovan Mitchell. It's about maximizing Darius Garland. And how you do that is exactly the player that is Cam. And I think, like, I think they're saying, they're throwing this out there, hey,
yeah, what do we make of the timing of this? Because this comes, I don't think this was an accident that it came after last night's game.
I mean, maybe this has been waiting. Maybe the Cavs have been waiting for this, right?
Because the reporting by Joe suggests that, this has been, if it's multiple teams he's talked to, three different teams he's talked to that say they've been in on Cam Johnson, then this was well before what happened last night.
But I think that maybe, just maybe, that the Cavs understand. Maybe the Cavs are ahead of the game. Maybe they know what we've been saying. Maybe they understand the importance of making this kind of swing. Because I think the thing is, you're not going to have to sell this to the locker room.
That's what the article kind of implied, right?
Yeah, well, but you're not going to have to sell this to the fans. I mean, if you hear, maybe you will.
I think you might.
Because we got Mac as the ultimate Coro homer.
Yeah.
We have people out there who love Caris LeVert.
People love Caris. I also don't know that Kobe Altman, even though we're approaching that territory, I don't know. I don't see many laser eyes memes for Kobe Altman, right? I don't know that there's a ton of trust in just unfeathered belief in Kobe Altman.
I think the bigger sells to the locker room. And I think you have to go to
yeah, because Caris is such a main part of that, with him being best buds with Donovan.
But I think you have to go to Donovan, and you have to go to your core four and say, listen, guys, we're not doing this to disrupt what we have. We're doing this because we want to give you the best chance to win a championship this year and beyond.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the other part of it. It's not just about winning this year. It's getting those players in the context and learning each other so that maybe, even if you don't win this year, if you stall out in the Eastern Conference Finals, now you have another year of playing together the year after that. And so I think this is, it's a delicate situation because Caris and him are so close, because Isaac has been here since day one. And it's not just those guys. It's any other piece that you do, but you've been really diligent and really smart about, I don't want to break up the core four. If you want to keep them together long term, I think this is the kind of that Cam Johnson move specifically, which is you need this exact piece. Here's how it changes your abilities in the playoffs, in not just the Boston series,
right,
in a lot of series.
A lot of series.
And here's the payoff, and here's how it might work out long term. I think Donovan's enough of a pragmatist that he understands the value of going in this direction.
The bet I would make is that based off of the clip that we played to start off this segment, Atkinson has been pushing for this for a while.
Yeah. Well, not just
like, the way you speak publicly that way, like Atkinson, this is him. This is him putting this out there, and this is him saying what he needs and what he needs in order to get the job done.
I think that's a great point, because I don't think it's a coincidence that it came out there and talking about, hey, it's a fair point. It's a fair point, because coaching can take you very far in the playoffs. But great coaches, they need a full hand. They do. And you're going out there, and you've got a nice hand, a really nice hand. But you really do need a guy that just glues all your styles together. I think that starts with Cam Johnson, but I don't just want to stop there. Like, I'll say the two names that I think are most interesting for this spot.
Yeah.
And it is guys you can throw at Tatum. It's guys you can throw at Brown. It's guys you can throw at Giannis. It's Cam. It's Herb Jones. You pair that with Dean Wade and Evan Mobley. And all of a sudden, I don't think teams are going to be able to pick at your size. And it's a different battle, by the way. How teams are going to attack Darius versus Donovan, but I think it starts there. 216-474-0092. Is Cam Johnson the missing piece for the Cavaliers? We're going to continue on with that. And one report says the Cavs want to get better, but not at this cost. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I think he's kind of got lost in that just swamp in New Orleans. You might actually get him kind of similar to the price that I think it was the Lakers got for DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith.
If I'm being honest, Herb Jones sounds like it's more realistic to me than even Cam Johnson, mm-hmm. just because the price really does. And the difference with Cam Johnson is, like, in between the break, I was like, because I said, well, you know, 10 teams are going to be involved in Cam Johnson. So I was just typing in other random teams that I thought would be involved and seeing if their local media was doing anything on it. It's every one of them. Like, I type in Thunder, for instance, and it's like, why Cam Johnson would be the perfect fit in the Thunder, and Thunder have a million picks to give up, you know? Like, it just, Mark Stein says multiple first, Jake Fisher says multiple first. Like, it just, it feels like Cam Johnson's going to be priced out of the Cavs. That's why I said you might need a third team to get involved. I'm not sure. But Herb Jones definitely will not be priced out.
So I think that makes sense there. I kind of took the Mark Stein thing a little differently. I think part of the reason why the Cavs are putting out, you know, we don't want to break up our top eight. And I understand some of that might be based in truth. Some of that's based in relationships and not wanting to break up chemistry. Part of me wonders if they're trying to sell a fight here. Part of me wonders if they're looking at this and going, everybody knows we want Cam Johnson. Everybody knows Herb Jones is the mm-hmm. guy that we've, you know, that kind of fits perfectly here. So basically trying to present the front of, well, we're not really that open for business, only if the right situation comes. I think it's trying to reposition themselves in the market and trying to re-spin a narrative that you're not that desperate.
Which I think is smart.
I do, and I will say, as much as I want them to get Cam, and I think if you got Cam, I'll say it again, Cam Johnson with Herb Jones, and I might call you a championship team on the spot. Like that, like I'm meaning, like I might expect you to beat Boston in that scenario, because I think it'll be a 7-game series, and then I think it becomes a pick 'em in my mind. That doesn't mean what okay. it's going to be in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
but if you got both, man, you would change no matter what you gave up post the core four. That's how much I like that fit with what you need. The same point, I don't think you're desperate. Like I
don't think so either, Nick. And I would be very curious to find out. If they feel like they need to do something this year in the slightest bit. Because what have they been preaching to us the entire time? It's a linear progression. It's all about mm-hmm. linear growth. If they can show the fan base that they've gotten this much better with each passing year, that's really, at the end of the day, that's all they care about. Because they still think the best days of Evan Mobley are ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, they still think there's a lot of growth there, and that's where ultimately they're going to have everything come through. So I would want to know what the Cavs' timeline is. Are they going to try to take advantage of what feels like maybe they hit it a year earlier than maybe the expectations were? Or are they going to sit back and say to themselves, we have to go ahead and wait until next season or even 2 years from now when Evan Mobley is a guaranteed all-star and then Donovan Mitchell's obviously still playing at an elite level?
So while I think there is some truth to the we don't want to break up the top eight, I think in the end, I think if you have a chance to get those two players, I think they would. I think some of this is just massaging the messaging so that, because here's the thing, you can't deal from a position of desperation.
Well, but also,
meaning if other teams think that you're desperate, that's where you're going to have a real, real hard time getting a deal done.
But here's the other thing out of this, and we've mentioned how hard it's going to be to actually get a deal done with Cam Johnson to begin with anyway, but what if you're Caris LeVert and you're waking up today and you hear a report that, three teams have talked to Joe Vardon and they desperately want a deal to try to get Cam Johnson done. Well, if you're Caris LeVert, even if Caris ends up staying here, you're probably peeved about that situation.
Yeah, I don't worry about that.
You do run the risk of that, though.
I don't worry about that, mostly because I think Caris has been through it enough times. I think Caris is pragmatic about this. And I think he also understands that his time in Cleveland's probably limited anyways. That actually might be the sense of urgency from the Cavs, is it probably doesn't make sense to go deeper into the luxury tax with Karras by extending him, and you only have him on an expiring contract.
I mean, if I'm trying to figure out why they're doing, why they're saying it the way that they're saying, that's the best guess I got.
I think it's a little bit of both. But I, meaning like bargaining positioning, hey, we're not desperate. We feel really good about where we are. You should. You're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. You don't have to act from a point of desperation. And also, well, let's have the conversation with Donovan about Karras when we need to, right? When we've, let's say, hey, what would you think about X, Y, and Z? And then we'll get to specifics when the specifics actually materialize.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA players are very, very, and they're the same way with the NFL. I mean, these guys are very online. They are very in the know of the rumors and everything. And maybe it's not even Karras. Maybe it's Donovan going to the group and saying, what is this I hear about Karras?
And my response to Donovan would be, we want to win a championship. And we are exploring those moves. And they're like, I don't think these guys, and it may be different with the best players. It may be different with Donovan and Darius. I think Darius specifically, I still wonder about some of the stuff with, you know, his position in this and how much credit he gets, all that kind of stuff. Stuff we've talked about. I can't imagine that Donovan would look at this roster and hey Donovan, we got this great offer for Cam Johnson and Herb Jones, but. We're moving off of Karras. We're moving off of Isaac. We're moving off one or two other players at the back end of the roster. You okay with this? I can't imagine. As much as this guy is in the peak of his career, as much as this guy is in the legacy part of his career, I can't imagine that he would be like, nah, I think we got to roll with the guys.
Well, I mean, after the game, the theme from Atkinson was exactly what we're discussing. And the theme from Donovan Mitchell was, I wasn't good enough last night. I wasn't good enough in that game. Like it was two different themes.
Yeah, which is rare because I think Kenny and Donovan have been spot on. I didn't make too much about the different message, but I think also Donovan can't come out and be like, yeah, we're weak on the wing. The coach can say that. If Donovan says that, that's actually where it might hurt you in the locker room.
Well, it might hurt his friendship with Karras.
Yeah, more than – or sorry, we don't have enough size on the wing. You just can't say that. But no, I mean, I think – and here's the thing. I think what this gets back to the creativity stuff. I think and a lot of Cavs fans have honed in on Cam Johnson. If instead of Cam Johnson, that's Herb Jones and then another guy that maybe a younger guy or maybe an older guy that fits the Cam Johnson profile at a different price. Like I think the Cavs are smart enough to know that they're sitting in a good spot. But man, if the right spot hits you, you got to take it. And I also think I would be surprised if this would shock anybody in the Cavs locker room. I really would. So the idea of chemistry, I think that's the most overplayed thing in the world. I think these guys are professionals. And I think Karras knows if he's here after February 6th, I think he knows everyone will be happy that he's here. Cavs fans, Cavs front office, Cavs leadership and beyond.
I think we weigh chemistry just a little bit different, but I do agree with you in the idea that like I'm ready to make a deal if that's what they decide to do. I'll be surprised if it ends up being Cam Johnson. As much as I want it to happen, it just seems unlikely to me.
I really wouldn't, and I maybe I'm just pie in the sky. Maybe I'm thinking too much like a Cavs fan, but I think this is shaping up to be a really interesting. Trade deadline.
I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're right. They become a better basketball team.
You might get a Cavs are going to the NBA Finals, but I'm gonna save it. Only if you got Cam and Herb.
We don't want you to jinx it.
That's true. I already jinxed Notre Dame earlier today.
That's right. We don't want you to go ahead and. You changed your underwear though, so that's different. Unlike the caller in the 4 o'clock hour.
I can't believe I changed my underwear like a total jinxer. I totally did that.
That was the difference between Herb Jones and Cam Johnson.
Everybody's been saying that for a while now. How concerned are you about breaking up the Cavs' chemistry with a trade? 216-474-0092. Not everything is negative with the Cleveland Browns. We have proof on 92.3 The Fan.